Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances. So much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
The most disturbing conspiracy theories are not always the ones that begin with monsters. The unnamed source that we are working with today provided a document for this episode called The Machine Organized Gang Stalking Program, and it presents his beliefs in an expansive system of psychological manipulation, directed energy harassment, electronic mind control, environmental theater, psychiatric entrapment, and political persecution, of course. This document was written with rage and certainty and despair. It reads all at the same time, like a research paper, a testimony, a manifesto, and the unhinged inner blueprint of a man who's trying to explain why exactly his world has turned so hostile against him. Now, the question is not whether every claim in the source can be accepted as fact, because of course it can't. We're talking about somebody's life. It's unique to them. But many of the claims I've seen other people talk about as well. And that makes it quite an extraordinary phenomenon, if you ask me. There's claims about satellites reading thoughts, microchips being implanted in people in hospitals, voices being projected into the skull, automated harassment systems, and a machine that coordinates social environments in real time. Considering the invasive nature of technology in 2026, I think it would be pretty intellectually lazy to just dismiss the entire subject as nothing more than the delusion of crazy people. Because the modern state has, in fact, experimented on human beings. The intelligence world does manipulate minds and weaponizes them against their enemies, both foreign and domestic. Medical systems have been used to rationalize abuse, and police and psychiatric institutions have also worked together to confine people who were socially inconvenient. Propaganda does exist, and it's quite literally everywhere. Every single ad you see, every movie you watch, and news broadcast on every station, psychological manipulations exist in every element of society. PsyOps, psychological ops, they're everywhere. Surveillance systems are expanding rapidly with Palantir and Flock-style technology. Directed energy research and weather manipulation is publicly discussed on every forum. So the paranoid imagination is not necessarily inventing these raw materials from nothing. It's arranging actual, real, historical fragments into a totalizing worldview. The concept of organized stalking, which is often described as gang stalking, occupies a pretty controversial and difficult position in modern discussions of surveillance and state power and psychological warfare, as well as mental health. The source materials that we've been introducing here presents gang stalking not as a loose collection of harassment incidents, but as a coordinated technological, psychological, and institutional system, an organism. Its central argument is that targeted individuals, who are commonly referred to as TIs, are subjected to a complex program of monitoring, social manipulation, directed energy assault, psychiatric discrediting, economic suppression, and long-term isolation. If you look up gang stalking and you see the types of people who claim they're being gang stalked, it's very easy to say you guys are just crazy people. But these people are just the most vocal of those being gang stalked. Many do not appear to make it out alive. The framework described in this account is built around the idea of the machine, which is a proposed automated system that's capable of processing large amounts of personal data and using that data to influence a target's environment. The system is not presented as just a metaphor for bureaucracy, for government, or technology. It's described as a functional mechanism that makes large-scale organized stalking possible. The argument maintains that the sheer number of reported victims, the speed of perceived responses, and the apparent precision of environmental manipulation would absolutely require some form of automation. And in this view, the scale of the alleged program exceeds what could be accomplished by ordinary human coordination alone. There must be something alien or machine involved with gang stalking. And this claim is stated pretty directly. The fact that there are so many victims that would need to be attacked or manipulated simultaneously and in parallel with a high degree of accuracy and precision, combined with the response time of the stalking being too fast to be human, both of these things combined suggests that the use or existence of a machine or something else is highly probable as a logical necessity for any of this to function the way that it is described. And this argument is important because it does indeed establish the source's central structure. The alleged phenomenon is not interpreted as some kind of random harassment or local persecution. It's not some example of an isolated psychological attack. It is interpreted as a system that is functioning sort of as a living organism that is doing things for a specific reason. It is stalking for a specific reason. A significant feature of this thesis is its insistence that personal experience must be interpreted within sort of a historical and institutional context. And what that means is there are contemporary claims of gang stalking, and that's one thing, but it quickly expands into a broader history of covert experimentation or intelligence operations or maybe psychiatric control or state secrecy. And when you look at it from that perspective, the narrative places the alleged program in continuity with things like Project Paperclip or MKUltra, both examples of government interference in our minds that we've discussed at length and recently on this podcast. So domestic surveillance programs and other examples of government experimentation or covert activity are deeply intertwined with this concept of gang stalking. And if you look at it within this structure, the present-day gang stalking framework is kind of presented as a continuation of earlier mind control and behavioral experimentation programs rather than some random or new phenomenon that nobody's ever heard of. The historical framing is central to the overall thesis because the analysis argues that the alleged program did not appear spontaneously. It is said to have emerged from some kind of existing tradition of state experimentation on human subjects, particularly where psychological manipulation or trauma or drugs or radio frequencies or surveillance or any of that kind of stuff is involved. And Project MKUltra becomes especially important in this framework because it is treated as evidence that modern governments and intelligence agencies have already pursued methods for altering consciousness or producing some kind of dissociation or breaking identity or even conditioning human behavior in a general direction that they will find desirable. Maybe it will drive somebody to unalive themselves, for instance. Within this historical logic, then, the most important transformation is the movement from controlled institutional experimentation to environmental experimentation. In the older model, subjects could be confined within hospitals or schools or prisons or like military facilities or labs, right? Wherever they did their research on all of these messed up CIA programs. In the model presented here, the subject remains physically inside ordinary society, but ordinary society itself becomes the laboratory. So the apartment building, the workplace, or the classroom, the police station, the internet, all of these, the media environment, they all become part of the mechanism of control. And this is one of the source's most developed ideas. It does not describe mind control only as like a device placed against the brain. It describes mind control as an entire surrounding environment. The target is not just acted upon by some weapon, but by a social world that has literally been altered specifically for them. It's been organized or manipulated around them. And the result is an alleged condition in which a person may actually continue to appear outwardly free while being constrained psychologically, socially, economically, or institutionally. Now, the source defines targeted individuals as people selected for harassment. They've been selected for experimentation, maybe some kind of suppression or psychological destruction in totality. And it presents demographic claims suggesting that TIs are often educated, they're articulate, they are socially isolated, okay? They are sometimes economically weakened. And the source cites statistics attributed to targeted individual advocacy communities, stating that about 76% are Caucasian and 90% graduated high school, okay? 50% have graduated college. 14% have a master's degree or a doctoral degree. So the discussion also seems to stress unemployment and isolation, quoting the claim that out of this highly educated group, 60% seem to be unemployed. They don't have the finances to fight back with. It's not hard to see how these figures serve a specific function within the argument. They are used to basically challenge the assumption that people who are targeted through gang stalking are simply socially marginal, or they're intellectually deficient, they're dumb, or they're unable to describe their own experiences, which are a lot of the arguments that people have against gang stalking. By the way, these people, they say that, well, these just aren't the brightest bulbs in the batches who claim that they're being gang stalked. But instead, the framework we're examining here presents these things as these people as disproportionately educated individuals who actually become isolated through the very mechanisms of the alleged program itself, the gang stalking program. The economic and social consequences are then not treated as incidental. They're actually treated as part of the process of gang stalking. Isolation is often presented as one of the program's most important tools, and we've talked recently about how people aren't really supposed to be alone for any extended amount of time, but a lot of the targets of gang stalking are. The text that we've been going over here states that 84% of these people are single, they're divorced, or they're separated, and that 40% of them never even got married in the first place. Individuals are considered easy targets. They live by themselves. There's not a whole lot of family around. They don't have a whole lot of friends. So in this framework, isolation is both a condition that makes targeting individuals easier, but it's also an outcome produced by targeting. It's kind of a double whammy. And once a person becomes estranged from their family and their friends and employers and all this kind of stuff, institutions and whatnot, the individual becomes less able to verify events, less able to obtain help or mount any meaningful legal or public challenge. And I think that's why in a lot of these gang stalking videos, you see them basically just running around with their cell phone being like, "You're a gang stalker, you're a gang stalker." And it's like, these people have already been driven to the point of near insanity. The social dimension of the alleged program is just as important as the technological dimension, by the way. The source that we're examining repeatedly emphasizes that the effects of gang stalking are not limited to physical sensations or voices. They also include reputational destruction, employment interference. They'll cause you to lose your job, lose your relationship. They'll cause you to sabotage yourself. There's public humiliation involved. You publicly humiliate yourself, and the gradual erosion of all credibility that you once had. So the targeted individual, becomes trapped inside this structure in which attempts to explain the abuse often actually increase the social alienation. And that'll drive anybody out of their minds.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Psychotronics also introduces the alleged technological basis of the program. So directed energy weapons and microwave frequencies and millimeter wave systems and the voice-to-skull technology, they're all presented as tools that are capable of producing not only pain and sleep disruption, but also like emotional destabilization. They'll cause you to hear voices and experience other neurological or physiological effects. Targets can also experience actual physical attacks on their body. The source that we're investigating here says that electronic weapons can deliver shocks, burns, stabs, and all sorts of physical attacks to their bodies in a continuous manner or periodically, maybe like every few minutes or every few seconds. And these attacks can actually produce internal heating and burns. They can produce sleep disruption or deprivation. And all of this is basically designed to gradually break down the sanity of the target until they can really no longer handle life. And if you look at it from this perspective, directed energy weapons aren't simply these instruments of crowd control or battlefield experimentation as we generally think about them, right? They are described by this source as individualized tools of long-term psychological and physical assault. And when you look at a lot of like MKUltra victims and Project Monarch victims, this makes a lot of sense. But our source also argues that such weapons can be used to create symptoms that appear like they are internal, even though they are originating externally. And this is a pretty important detail to the broader claim, because basically this program allegedly depends on producing experiences that can be dismissed as psychiatric symptoms. So in other words, this really only works if the person, the victim, looks insane and all of the attacks that are happening to them look like byproducts of their own insanity. Which is just, it's like living in a nightmare. It sounds absolutely horrible. So I feel like this is a great time to ask anybody who may be watching this, if you are a victim or believe you're a victim of gang stalking, are these some of the things that you've experienced? Because I can't even imagine this kind of nightmare. Sometimes I think I've got it bad, but this just sounds absolutely crazy. Now, voice-to-skull technology, or V2K, this is getting more and more popular every single day. And it occupies a particularly important place in this realm here. The source of this essay quotes Dr. John Hall as saying that there's been a lot of research about how to put voices into one's head. It was found long ago that if you can put a voice into somebody's head, you can do several things. If I put a voice in your head that's foreign to your normal thought pattern, that can easily become harassment. But if I put a voice in your head that's in your voice, like when you read books, for instance, that becomes a thought and you'll act on those thoughts, which just brings us even closer to the whole MK Ultra Monarch realm and deeper into this dimension of horror that is gang stalking and not knowing what thoughts are yours and what thoughts are somebody else's masquerading as yours. So all of this helps explain why this program is presented as more like surveillance than control. It's like surveillance observes behavior. So V2K or voice to skull technology, as described here, would enter the sphere of sort of cognition itself, and it would allow an outside operator to essentially harass, influence, confuse, totally destabilize, or potentially alter thought patterns of victims. And the mind, when you think about it in this, from this perspective, becomes contested territory. It becomes a place that can be overtaken by somebody other than the owner of the mind, the self. And I think that the significance of voice-to-skull technology is not merely that a person might be able to hear a voice, but that the source of that voice actually may be difficult to prove. Who knows who it could be? Who is in my head? Who is in your head? Whose thoughts even are these when they don't feel quite right? Am I thinking for myself, or is somebody else making me think this way? If a technological voice is interpreted as a mental illness, well, then the alleged weapon becomes pretty dangerous, because that is quite literally mind control in the maximum degree. There's no other way to define that. As we can see, this argument basically maintains that this entire situation we've got going on here creates a closed institutional trap. A person who reports hearing voices or being followed or being attacked by invisible technologies may end up just being diagnosed with schizophrenia or delusional disorder, some kind of paranoia, or any of these other psychiatric conditions they try to convince you is real. And then they'll just give you a bottle of pills, slap you on the ass, and say, good luck, buddy, don't die. But that diagnosis damages that person's credibility, and it makes future reports even easier to dismiss. So this mechanism, it should be described as a turnkey psychiatric response. And the source quotes Dr. John Hall on this issue, who says, if I put a voice in your head that's foreign to your normal thought pattern, that becomes harassment. And the harassment over time makes you display signs of schizophrenia. And when you go and tell people that you're hearing voices, we have a psychiatric turnkey system to see that this is schizophrenia. And we don't even look to see if there is a legitimate source for it other than that. The text also quotes Dr. Terry Robertson, describing psychiatric diagnostic assumptions. He says, I went back and looked through one of my handbooks of Goodman and Goose from like 1993, from my 2-month psychiatry rotation that I did. And right in there, almost word for word, it says, if you are complaining about being stalked or of the government sending voices into your head, like it's almost as if somebody is reading the script out of there, then you're delusional or schizophrenic. So, within this framework, the diagnostic pattern isn't really accidental at all. It's interpreted as part of the alleged program, the gang stalking program's protective structure. And if a technology can produce symptoms that actually resemble mental illness, or, I mean, now we need to kind of redefine what mental illness even is, if this is real, then the medical system will automatically classify reports of all such technology as nothing more than mental illness. Do you see the problem here? So the system becomes almost impossible for the target to challenge, and the medical diagnosis becomes not only a clinical label, but a political and social barrier. This produces the broader theory of entrapment. The gang stalking program first creates symptoms, harassment, or destabilization. Then the target seeks help or reacts under some kind of pressure. Police, family, doctors, jobs and employers, courts, they all interpret the target's claims through the lens of mental instability. And once the target receives a diagnosis or is involuntarily committed in some way, then all future allegations lose pretty much all credibility because this person is just mentally unstable. They're not actually going through what they say they're going through. They are an insane person. They are medicated. They have something wrong with them upstairs. And the individual is then kind of just released back into the same social environment as always, with diminished status, reduced trust, and fewer resources to help them. Police protocols are presented in a similar way. The source argues that law enforcement officers are not trained to treat complaints of electronic harassment or any kind of directed energy weapons or organized stalking as anything that's credible at all. They don't treat them as criminal reports. Instead, such complaints just result in psychiatric referral or maybe some kind of involuntary evaluation. Maybe they'll get arrested and harassed in prison for being off their meds or allegedly being high or something. And according to the stories that I've reviewed, some targeted individuals who report voice-to-skull harassment to police actually risk being treated as mentally unstable. So in this entire structure we've got here, law enforcement becomes another gateway into nothing more than psychiatric discrediting, which doesn't help anybody anywhere ever. The most elaborate social mechanism described in the argument for gang stalking is probably street theater. And this term refers to the essentially the perception or the experience of coordinated public harassment through staged encounters or repeated symbols, maybe hostile gestures or noises that have been made that only you would really recognize. Phrases that are repeated that are designed to sort of drive you to insanity, color patterns or synchronized public behavior, stuff like that. And the target will essentially interpret ordinary social space as something that has been arranged against them. And the street in this situation becomes a bit of a theater. Other people are actors now, and daily life is nothing more than a performance. Street theater is often defined as the belief that a large group of people are stalking and antagonizing you through negative, coordinated actions in this view. And the analysis that we're investigating here asks how exactly this phenomenon could be produced. But one possibility that is discussed is the use of trained or hired participants. Other people who have essentially been trained or hired to be NPCs in your life. This isn't you imagining them. These are other actual people with actual lives who have been trained and hired to infiltrate your environment and act as if they are just regular people, but they're not. Another is the use of intelligence contractors or private actors, but the central argument ultimately holds that large-scale street theater would probably require some level of automation, some kind of priming or technological manipulation, and this is exactly where the machine becomes essential. The source we're looking at here proposes that many apparent stalkers, they might not even be conscious participants in what's going on. I've seen people accuse meth heads of being gang stalkers, and it's not necessarily because the meth head wants to stalk you, but the meth head has been paid to stalk you, and since they are a meth head, they will do pretty much anything for money. So instead, the system may actually manipulate both the target and the ordinary people in the target's environment. And if you look at it from this perspective, a neighbor or a stranger or a coworker or just some random passerby, he might actually unknowingly behave in a way that appears meaningful only to the target. The machine is allegedly, in this kind of situation, tracking and psychologically triggering or semantically priming the environment. They are manipulating the environment to create the impression of coordinated harassment. And this would basically allow the program to operate at scale without requiring every visible participant to understand the role that they are playing in gang stalking. And so when we see these videos of the people being like, "You're gang stalking me, you're gang stalking me," and the gang stalker, the alleged gang stalker, is like, "What are you talking about? No, I'm not." Even though they're acting somewhat suspicious while they say that, they know that they're doing something, but they don't know that they're gang stalking you. They don't know that they have been paid to basically create hell out of your life. They just have been paid to go to this location and sort of meander around, and they're trying to get money for crack or whatever they need money for. Their daughter needs to go to school. Their wife is about to leave them because of debt. Whatever it is, they don't really know what they're doing in your life, but you are now targeting them as a gang stalker. It's really crazy. And this argument is developed through the fundamental concept of sociology known as the Thomas Theorem, which is, if men define situations as real, they are real in their consequences. And the interpretation of the situation causes the action. So the source material here uses this sociological principle to explain how the experience of gang stalking can essentially become behaviorally real. And once the target believes that social reality is organized against him, that belief shapes his action, his interpretation, his risk assessment, and the way that he responds, his social response. After all, he has been convinced that a non-reality is a reality, and ironically, that non-reality is his reality, but it's not supposed to be what his reality really is.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
So you can see how it could turn somebody inside out and upside down all around. The consequences are real, though, because the target's life is totally reorganized around this perceived structure. And the analysis doesn't really treat this as a simple mental error. It argues instead that the program may deliberately create the conditions under which such definitions of reality become literally inescapable, which is when your reality that isn't real becomes your reality that is now real. So the initial harassment and the assault, the technological interference, all the online manipulation you might experience, or the social engineering you may have gone through, and the whole institutional dismissal, they're all said to actually literally create a world in which the target's interpretation becomes increasingly reinforced. And the more that the target reacts, the more unstable the target appears. And the more unstable that the target appears, the easier it is for others to dismiss the claim. So the dismissal then becomes further evidence of the system's reach. In this sense, the alleged program of gang stalking functions through quite literal feedback loops. Fear produces interpretation. Interpretation then produces behavior. Behavior produces social consequences, and then those social consequences produce isolation. Once you get to isolation, well, it increases your dependence on the original interpretation of what is causing all of this. The target becomes he becomes enclosed within a self-reinforcing system, if you will, that may have elements of technology and social interference and psychiatric dismissal, and now he's on drugs, and now his family doesn't like him, all of these things at once. So the source material here also includes personal testimony involving hospitalization and alleged catfishing and suspicion of microchipping. All of these things also can be part of this gang stalking experience, this reality shaping experience that somebody might be going through. The suspicion of microchipping is tied to the hospitalization experience. The argument here suggests that medical settings may provide an opportunity for covert implantation of microchips or other technology, especially when the subject is unconscious, sedated, or maybe involuntarily confined. And do I need to really go into how this could bleed into the concept of alien abduction and all of that kind of stuff? Because it's pretty obvious to me that these things, they overlap. These two conspiracy theories overlap here, especially when people randomly find chips or something implanted in their body and all they have are these weird memories of how they may have gotten it. Maybe instead of being abducted by aliens, you're being gang-stalked. I don't know, but the source I'm looking at here states that the fear of being diagnosed again or involuntarily committed can actually prevent individuals from openly asserting that they believe that they have been implanted with some kind of technology or that they have been abducted. So when you look at it from this perspective, this psychiatric stigma actually operates as a deterrent against testimony. It's very scary stuff.
Microchipping is presented as part of the sort of broader system of tracking and remote influence. It's not really that difficult to imagine how microchipping could be used in a gang stalking scenario. You are their pet. They want to know where you're at. You microchip your cat or your dog, they microchip you. It's the same concept. But the framework kind of links implants to satellite tracking and brain monitoring and the ability to target individuals through electromagnetic or microwave technologies. And that's where the whole, like, it's kind of cranked up to 11 from just seeing where your cat goes when it gets out. You know what I mean? But this source that we're looking at today quotes Dr. Terry Robertson giving an expert quote attributed to Eldon Bird, who said, technology exists to induce sound into the brain at a distance, to monitor and alter brain waves at a distance, and to alter behavior at a distance, which also leads to inducing images into the brain. So, through this technology, we can target individual organs and can disrupt the calcium ions bonding on individual cell surfaces at a distance, creating pain and other effects. So, as we can see, beyond just seeing where Lucy is at any given point, we can also continue to disrupt Lucy's life through these other features of our technology, which will just lead her to look even more insane than she already is. The question that I'm always asking myself is how one is chosen to be gang stalked. What exactly leads one to becoming a gang stalked victim? And again, to the people who are watching this who may believe that they have been or are being gang stalked, you probably have the answer to that better than me, because I don't know. I myself sometimes feel like, if gang stalking is real, why am I not being gang stalked? Why do I not feel like this is happening to me? Because there's a lot of other weird stuff that I sometimes feel happens to me, but I personally don't really feel like I'm being watched at every given point. But when I watch these videos of people who are being gang stalked, they literally feel like this is 24/7. Like, this thing is in their head all the time. This person is outside of their window every night, every day. If it's not that person, then it's a different one. These people are coming from out of state to watch me. These people are monitoring my data, my internet, my cell phone. They're following me into coffee shops. They're sitting down at my work somehow and watching me as I do my job, if I'm lucky enough to have one. A lot of these people end up being homeless and living in their cars, and they, wherever they go, there are also the gang stalkers. And so I really do have this question that I haven't been able to find for this episode, which is, what is causing people to become gang stalked? And it's easy to say why somebody like,
you know, I used to be an interrogator for the U.S. Army. So it's easy to say, well, you're being gang stalked because you had access to sensitive information and now you could use that against the government, right? But what causes a regular person who doesn't have any of that kind of stuff, and I'm a regular person too, but you know what I mean, like what happens to somebody who maybe is just trying to live a normal life, who and has always lived a normal life, who ends up being gang stalked? Why is that a thing that happens to them? And I've seen a lot of different types of people who claim to be being gang stalked from all sorts of different walks of life. Some of them are 17-year-old kids, and it's just kind of crazy that to imagine that this would be happening to all sorts of people for no reason. And so I've got to believe that there's something specific about these people that makes them targets of this. And perhaps the audience here has a better idea of that than me. If you do, leave it in the comments.
Dr. John Hall says that there are literally thousands of reconnaissance satellites that can track you, and look through the walls of your home. And that this is actually the cheapest way to do it. And they are now using solar-powered blimps as well, he says. And that same quoted material also adds that satellites have the ability to be directed at multiple individuals simultaneously, and that this is now happening in every single state in the United States of America. These claims are used to support the argument that the alleged program of gang stalking is governmental, or at least quasi-governmental in nature, and that the required technology, resources, and classification systems, and all this operational reach that would be needed to even utilize this type of equipment would exceed the capacity of any ordinary civilian. So the source, therefore, identifies military, intelligence, medical, and law enforcement, as well as contractor networks, as the most plausible institutional system for what is responsible for gang stalking. The discussion of the machine then becomes more complex when it shifts essentially from just physical technologies to information technologies. The machine, in this perspective, is not just some weapon being used against somebody. It is an actual information processing system. So it allegedly tracks these individuals. It studies their psychology. It identifies their triggers and then it manipulates their media inputs, and their influences online are impacted as well, which causes them to do certain things that maybe normally they wouldn't do or behave in ways they wouldn't behave. It coordinates this social and peer pressure. And if you look at this model and this perspective, then mind control doesn't really depend only on implants or beams or voices. It also depends on meaning and how your environment has been constructed and displayed by other powers to get a certain reaction out of you or make you feel that reality is a certain way, even if it isn't that way. And of course, semantic priming is also important here, because the source argues that language and symbols and colors and all these things that we've mentioned before, entertainment and social media and all these repeated cultural references, they can all be used to basically influence your perception and behavior, your perception of the world around you and your behavior in response to that perception of the world around you. So a person may actually be led to associate certain phrases or colors or images or even gestures with something that it is completely unrelated to, like threats or humiliation or instruction. And you may even be tempted, when that's occurring, to do something that you might not normally do, like maybe go to a certain school with a certain piece of equipment and somebody that you didn't ever want to do, but felt like there was no way that you possibly could avoid it. And I'm not trying to be too specific here, but I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. There's situations that are occurring in our world right now, in America, that make no sense. And the people who are being accused of doing these crimes
it doesn't make sense for them to have done those crimes. And so you do have to ask yourself, well, this has been occurring throughout at least the past 60 years. Is there something maybe stranger or bigger going on? Are these people even in control of themselves? We want to say that they're framed, but is it possible that they just have no concept of what they're actually doing because their reality is constantly shifting and changing around them, and they're motivated by the promise that perhaps their reality could go back to normal if they just do this one more thing? I don't know, man. That sounds a little bit more plausible than some of the explanations I'm being given on the news these days. Because over time, what actually ends up happening is that these associations become psychological triggers, and the environment appears to quite literally speak. It's almost like they enter another dimension. They are living in a state of dementia that has been forced upon them. And I think this idea expands the scope of the alleged program of gang stalking dramatically, because the machine doesn't just attack the body. It organizes your interpretation of the world around you. The target's world becomes filled with these signals and signs and these motions that are ambiguous and yet are forcing them in a general direction. So ordinary events, they acquire this kind of double meaning. Public space becomes somewhere that's coded and needs to be translated somehow. Everything ends up meaning something to these people. Media becomes personalized. It's almost as if they hear the news and they hear the YouTube videos and they hear the movies speaking to them. They sit down in a movie theater and the person sitting right next to them has been waiting for them for some reason. Coincidences become suspect, right? The result is an entire environment in which the target may feel like they are continuously being addressed by forces that are...
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Completely invisible to everybody else. This is a highly complicated psychological operation because the goal is not simply pain, but learned helplessness. The target is conditioned to believe that resistance is futile. There's no help available for them, and every attempt that they make to escape is only going to produce further punishment for them. It's a long-term breaking process that is similar to those that we've seen in projects like MKUltra and Monarch. And gang stalking doesn't need to physically imprison the individual if it can produce a psychological captivity. So the accounts of torture that we read about are both physical and social when it comes to this gang stalking concept. It includes pain, absolutely, and sleep disruption and electronic harassment and all of these things, but it also includes elements of shame and disbelief and economic sabotage or relationship destruction that may drive this person to do something that they wouldn't ordinarily do. The target isn't only injured physically, but it's also made to be unbelievable. And this is one of the source's most important claims. Gang stalking's concealment literally depends on making its victims appear mentally unstable. And by doing this, they will destroy or be able to use the target. The structure of gang stalking, as we presented it, gives the program a very circular type of logic. Because if the target speaks, the claim that they're making, whatever they're saying, it sounds impossible. It sounds crazy. Just look it up on YouTube when you're done watching this video. Just type in gang stalking YouTube and watch some of the people, because there's thousands of people who believe that they are going through this every single day and they're uploading videos all the time. But you'll see that if the target becomes emotional, the emotion appears symptomatic. if they start to distrust somebody or something, that distrust looks like paranoia. As soon as the target starts trying to attempt to gather evidence, they look very out of control. They look chaotic. They look like a crazy person. And the more that the target attempts to prove that they are being gang stalked, the more they actually risk appearing to confirm the psychiatric explanation that has been imposed upon them already. So to these institutions, they'll say, see, you're proving our point. You are in a state of psychosis. There's something wrong with you. But they're being like, no, something is doing this to me. And then the institution is like, yeah, see, while they continue to prod and poke at them with their technology and their manipulations of the environment around the target. Near the end of the document, our source states that the American government has created a human experimentation program through directed energy weapons, psychological warfare, and social entrapment mechanisms, in conjunctions with some type of machine that has been designed for human enslavement, and it needs to stop. And this statement pretty much summarizes the entire argument that our source is trying to make. The gang stalking system is technological, it's psychological, it reaches into the institutions, and it's political. And its purpose is control. When you look at certain elements of the NPC theory, when you look at religious prophecy, especially things that may be happening in the end times according to Revelation, it's really not hard to see how something like gang stalking can play a part. And to me, it's fascinating how the people who are gang stalkers don't even appear to know it themselves. Everybody is being played, the stalked and the stalkers. And above it all, above all of us and all of them, are the puppeteers, who are laughing and giggling and experimenting and just not being held accountable, because there really is nobody to hold accountable. There's no way to prove that these things are happening in the first place. It really is a masterclass of manipulation. And it takes more than one to tango. It's not just one person being a victim of thousands or hundreds of people stalking. It's thousands or hundreds of people literally being manipulated, driving everybody insane. It is literally like, I said Black Mirror earlier, it's kind of like a Black Mirror episode where it's a game where everybody truly is the main character. And they're all being moved around like pawns. This guy is told to go sit in this parking lot and just wait there and just be there. Do nothing. Just sit in your car in this parking lot. And he doesn't know it, but there is a young man who is about to show up to this parking lot who has been fleeing from gang stalkers for months. And he sees this person who has been told to just sit in the parking lot, has no clue what's going on. He sees this person and immediately flips out. Now both of these people are involved in a scheme somehow. And then here comes a hiker, here comes a jogger, and they've been told to jog to this location. That's all they have to do. They jog to this location, $100 gets deposited into their bank account instantly. And now they are also gang stalkers to the young man who is trying to avoid the gang stalkers, but they don't know what they're doing. It's all a game. And this is why it's so difficult for gang stalking victims to pinpoint who exactly is the stalker and for what reason. And none of these people who are actually stalking can actually be held accountable because they have no idea what's going on. They're just showing up for a buck. Or perhaps somebody has kidnapped one of their family members and they're just being told that this is where they have to go if they want to see their loved one again. It really puts you in an element of fear that is of such a high degree, I think, to me, because you never know when you could become an element of gang stalking, whether you're the stalker or the stalked. It truly, you could be doing it without even knowing you're doing it. I could be a gang stalker right now, and I don't even know it, because when I get up to go to the grocery store or something like this, there might be somebody who believes that they are being watched by me, even though I'm just a guy, just in the environment. But this victim has been led to believe, has been manipulated and brainwashed into believing that the entire world around them is a stage and they are subject one. It's really quite diabolical. The more you think about it, the more your mind will unravel and the more it will make you question reality. What is real? What is reality? How deep does the lie go? Anyway, this was quite an interesting episode for me, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thanks for watching. The life is in the blood.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it, but Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.